This is Newark Today, WBGO's award-winning call-in show with Newark Mayor Cory Booker. We're discussing the issues affecting New Jersey's largest city. And now your host, Andrew Meyer.
It's back to school time in Newark, and we figured this was an ideal time to get the school superintendent back in here to talk to us about the new school year. On tonight's show, we're pleased to be joined again by Dr. Clifford Janey, and we've got plenty to talk about. Dr. Janey, it's good to see you.
Good to see you again.
And of course, as always, we welcome back Mayor Cory Booker. It's good to see you too, sir.
It's great to see you too.
And remember, you are an essential part of tonight's conversation. Got a kid in the schools? This is your chance to ask the men in charge about the issues affecting you and your children. The toll-free number to call is 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. You can also email us your question at newarktoday@wbgo.org. But first, need to get to violent crime. It's been very much in the news this past week in Newark. Mayor, the most recent incident, It just doesn't seem like this sort of thing should be happening in broad daylight at the intersection long dubbed the Crossroads of New Jersey. A fatal stabbing. You announced yesterday there had been an arrest. What's the latest in this case?
Well, this was two people who had a beef the night before, and it was one of the gentlemen, the assailant, saw the other individual and took the opportunity to carry out a heinous, vicious act of violence in broad daylight. It had to be one of the more stupid crimes I've seen. Because you're doing it in a place where there is numerous witnesses, where we have camera technology, where everything was seen on the camera. And we were able to, thanks to the help of the U.S. Marshals and others, not only identify the person almost immediately, but bring them to justice. And so we are committed, as I continue to say, to doing what's necessary to stop these kind of crimes. And we're making headways. But this was a very frustrating day, I think, for a lot of Newark residents to have a crime like this happen, where it happened and when it happened.
Mayor, last week, a four-year-old girl was wounded when she was caught in the crossfire. How's she doing?
She's in a lot of discomfort. I saw her now about 6 days ago in the hospital, and she was in a lot of discomfort. And a young girl like that should not have to go through the kind of trauma and pain and the long recovery that she has ahead of her. She was surrounded by an incredible room of love and support, and 24 hours, people are there for her. But this is another circumstance, again, where we see something happening in our city that we all could have participated in preventing. The people that were involved in this shooting were known in that neighborhood. Some folks, as I walked around and knocked on doors and talked with the residents, this person had been arrested there five times before, had been caught with a gun on the premise before, and had showed up again in that neighborhood. And, you know, we talked a lot that day. And fortunately, as a result of this, we've seen a spike in the number of people that are calling our anonymous tip lines. And so sometimes it's a shame that a tragedy has to move us to action. But because now we're getting a lot of these tips and people are realizing I don't have to tolerate somebody in my neighborhood like this, we've been getting a spike in calls and making some very big arrests, which I hope you all, in fact, I know you all have covered recently, but getting automatic weapons off the streets, capturing some of the most wanted on our most wanted list. We just really need a strong partnership with residents who realize anonymous tips actually lead to cash, but more importantly, they lead to an end of the violence in our city.
The overall crime rate is down in the city, but a lot of times when you have high profile incidents like these two in the past week, people go by the perception it creates. Can you reassure your residents that Newark is still getting safer?
Yeah, look, I was with a bunch of mayors from Los Angeles, Boston, Chicago. We all had a summit today over at Gracie Mansion. And that was inevitably it was about service, but we all started talking about crime and the frustrations a lot of other mayors are having whose crime rates are going up and whose violent crime rates are going up in America. Newark is actually going in the right direction, but these sensational shootings and the murder, obviously, on Broad Market often shake us to our core. So we're making progress, but as I say continuously, this is still not a satisfactory reality. We still have a lot of work to do. We've got 3 years back-to-back now of drops in crime, drops in shootings, drops in murders, but we could be doing a lot more. The edge right now that I keep pushing is that I need is community action, from picking up the phone and letting us know, hey, there's drug dealing on that corner. This is what I observe. I don't want your name. I don't want your phone number. I don't want your address. I just want the information. And I'll give you a code. And if you call back an hour later, a day later, a week later, and that tip led to the recovery of a gun or other convictions of any sort, we'll give you between $1,000 and $2,000. And thank God, since a couple of these sensational shootings, we've now been getting a little bit more cooperation on that line that's leading to some very big busts and arrests and recovery of guns.
When it comes to the role of the police in helping to combat crime here in the city, we have an email I want to get to here. It's from Felix in Newark. He's proud of the changes you're making, but he had a serious problem with 911 recently. There was a fight going on in an apartment in his building. He says it took the police nearly 2 hours to answer his call. And then he's also having problems with drug dealing in his neighborhood. He lives down near Irvine Turner Boulevard. He says he would appreciate a reply. And I'm going to pass along the email to your staff.
Yeah, so
but what do you say to Felix? Who's,
well, I say to Felix, please reach out. And if you know of drug dealing in your neighborhood, the overwhelming majority of our violence in the city of Newark is narcotics related. So if you know of drug dealing and you think it's just people selling marijuana, well, we busted a guy with marijuana the other day with a 4 AK-47s. So this is where the violence related. Don't just let the drug dealing go on. Call us and give us who's dropping off the drugs. What are the drug dealers wearing? Where do they, if you see them stash their drugs someplace, those kind of, that kind of information helped. And the final thing is our police are not perfect. I'm blown away. I talked to the chiefs just yesterday, an assembly of all of our chiefs, and said the police work that's being done now, the level of it as we invest in intelligent policing and larger detective squads, it's just incredible. We're turning around violent crime. It's just amazing. But these guys, of 1,000 people, all of them are not perfect. They make mistakes. And the biggest thing I need, if you see our police and the conduct of our police not reflecting this, the community standards, or if you're calling 911 and not getting the kind of response, understand this. While my anonymous tip lines are completely anonymous, 911 calls are all recorded. And so if you called, especially this gentleman, if you want to make a complaint, you just tell us when you called, and we can pull that tape and listen to it and hold our callers accountable. The overwhelming majority of them are good, but we've had to take disciplinary action against callers who did not provide the level of service that we expect and the standards that we're setting in Newark.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. We welcome your questions on public safety, the start of the school year, or whatever other pressing issues may be on your mind. To get in on this conversation, you can call us at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. You can also email us your question at newarktoday@wbgo.org.
And the tip line is 1-877-NWK-TIPS. Or the gun line, which is an automatic $1,000 if you help us get a gun off the streets, is an anonymous line, 1-877-NWK-GUNS, G-U-N-S.
Okay. Newark School Superintendent Dr. Janey, first day of school, how'd it go this year?
It went very well this year. We started planning to make sure our students would be in a position to be successful this year. We reached out to parents. We started the school year early, before Labor Day. And our goal was, very simply, to get our students ready for college, work, and life, to get them in a position to win. So we said to ourselves, what would it take? It would take more quality time. It would take more quality staff, particularly with our teachers and our principals. And so we started the school year in that vein, and we got schedules done. We organized relationships and reorganized relationships with our safety leaders in the police department and our social service leaders, and we embarked on a course that would ultimately be able for us to say to the public and to our parents and to every teacher that it matters what you do. Our graduation rate would be an indicator that kids are college ready, they're work ready, and they're life ready. And so that's what it's all about. NJASK is all a reach towards graduation.
And NJASK?
Yes, the New Jersey assessment here in Newark. And we want to make sure that's a lead-in to a bigger picture, which is graduation as it positions our students for success in college, work, and life.
This is what you've done, what your great staff, what everybody in the district has been doing to start off the school year. But I want to get you to turn the spotlight back on yourself. This is year two for you. The honeymoon's over. I want you to grade your own efforts from your first year in the district. Where did you exceed expectations, and where was there room for improvement? Now, I'm going to get the mayor in on this one, too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First of all, superintendents don't have a honeymoon.
No.
We come to work.
No grace period.
None.
We don't expect any, nor do we deserve any. Our work is going to be fulfilled to the extent that we take the lead and we build leadership within our schools and our communities. That's what it's all about. We've got to do it on a both-and proposition, and that we've set that course out for ourselves. Now, I was pleased that we started early. I was pleased that we had close to 90% of uniforms as of today in our K-8 schools. We had close to 70 to 75% in our high schools. A shout out to Central High School, a shout out to Technology High School. 95% of our students are in uniform, 70% at History High School, and it varies as we go down. Shabazz High School, 75%, that was a great lift. And they're making that move. But I was disappointed to see parents walking on Broad Street yesterday with children who should have been in school. So I say we've made some progress in terms of organizing ourselves for results to get kids to be able to be successful in college, work, and life. But we need a real community effort. So when we say the bell has rung for school to start, it means everybody should be in school.
You bring up the issue of school uniforms. You started this out last year with the elementary schools, and you've expanded it into the high schools this year. We went out to talk to some Newark residents about the school uniform issue, and here's a comment we got from a man by the name of Greg Manning.
I would like to ask him, what's up with the uniforms? Because we don't know. They didn't put out no pamphlets. Well, I didn't see no pamphlets. I didn't, you know, my nieces or nephews didn't know what color to wear with their school for the next year or anything like that. I see parents down here downtown running crazy trying to find out the school colors.
Dr. Janey, it's one individual, but he's saying there wasn't sufficient communication to the parents. Was there?
We think there was. We publicized through community meetings during the spring of this year. We set forth last year a number of community meetings throughout the city. We started at Belmont Runyon. We went to Central. We went to the Ironbaum Ward this past spring. We made announcements through community meetings, through distribution of information at the school level to our high schools. It's mandatory this year for K-8. We started a year ago. It's voluntary this year for high schools, and it'll be mandatory next year for high schools.
So you covered your bases, both of you. What is so important about school uniforms? Again, we've talked about this in the past, but why is this such a pivotal issue?
For us within education, and education isn't an island unto itself because it leads to opportunities for work and life, we think your presence and how you present yourself in clothing does matter. We think it sets an example of how you can gain access to opportunity, how you can eliminate the distractions in schools with respect to time, confrontations, who's got which color on. We think the business of school has to do with how you spend your time in school and out of school to give yourself an advantage. And if we're debating and arguing and beefing about that which you have on that puts you in a better position of power, it loses the point of what school's all about.
Mayor, how do school uniforms translate to the larger community in Newark?
Listen, let's just be clear here. This is a different world. Our kids need to show up on time, and I was very frustrated on the first day of school. I'm giving kids rides to school well into the 9, 10 o'clock hour. And so for people to say they didn't have notification about the early start date, which I commend the superintendent on, because we need more time on tasks. Having 2-3 months, we lose so much in the kids' educational growth during the summer because we're not pushing our kids hard enough during the summer. This is a tough world, and we've got to prepare our kids to be ready to perform, to compete, and I believe our kids can win and achieve their dreams. So parents have a powerful responsibility. Let's get our kids to school on time. Let's make sure they're nutritionally fit to learn, and let's make sure that they are ready to focus, not on fashion, but focus on learning. And so I commend this uniform push that you're doing. I commend the extended school day. We've got to start getting far more serious about education because this is a serious world. It's a tough economy. And what's happening for our kids right now, who, by the way, when you go to work, you put on a uniform. He's putting on his suit and his tie, the superintendent here. You've got to get yourself in a mindset for learning, a mindset for producing, and not lines of focusing. And you know, I talked to some parents who are relieved because the cost is actually smaller. You buy a couple uniforms, you can keep recycling them through. So I just have a lot of frustration about the complaints that I've heard, when really what our focus should be is about getting to that building that some of the new facilities that we have, I'm very proud of, that we got open.
But we'll get to that in a little bit.
To the building and showing up ready to focus on which is important in this competitive economy, global economy.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. I'm your host, Andrew Meyer. We want to hear from you. What's your own assessment of how everything's going? Are you happy with this first week back to school? Give us a call at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. Dr. Janney, we have another email here from a group calling itself Concerned Members of the Early Childhood Community. They write, quote, "Please ask Dr. Janney why he failed to make any significant changes in the management of early childhood, despite the fact that there's a lot of evidence that the department continues to fail the preschoolers of the city in many ways. Low enrollment, poor support services, huge differences in the quality of child care centers." Is this a place where more resources are needed, or do they just not know that there's more effort going into this area?
No, I don't think this is a boogeyman coming out of the closet, and we need to name the boogeyman money. This is about an attitude to get ahead in preparation for success later on in our elementary schools. We have an advantage here in Newark and in New Jersey that others don't have throughout this country. And we need to take advantage of it. And if there's a change that needs to be made, it's not so much about access, because we have over 70% of our facilities for early childhood out in the communities.
Define early childhood for those
three and four-year-olds.
Okay.
Yeah, very simply, 3 and 4 year olds. But most of our facilities are in the community, much more accessible than some of our school sites. So the real challenge for us, for which we need a collaboration and an understanding, is not so much now about access, is about how we're going to ensure the level of education in preschool that makes a point about the importance of language, the importance of vocabulary, and how we can set good examples in our preschool programs and assist our parents in elevating the amount of vocabulary words that are necessary for success in kindergarten, as our kindergarten students, our 5-year-olds, get ready for reading as they move towards primary education. So that's the common challenge we have. It's no longer about access, because we have more access than we have subscription. We have enrollment. And if we need to do a better job at enrollment, let's work together on that. But it's really about what comes out of the preschool, the 3 and 4 year old experience, to put our students in a position to be ready for reading and ready for the acquisition of skills in mathematics and language and other disciplines as they get older.
We're going to get to some calls coming up after the break, but in 30 seconds, you talk about the boogeyman being money. I would imagine that the 5-year plan you've developed is a way to start developing and enhancing the areas that the district is shy of.
Yes, we this past year had a $44 million shortfall. We closed that shortfall without laying off a particular teacher, and we made good on reducing expenditures by creating efficiencies. I have maintained we had sufficient amount of money to the chagrin of some, but I think to the welcome expectation of many others. And we've done so without putting a burden on taxpayers.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. To get in on the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-499-9246. When we come back, more with Dr. Clifford Janey and Mayor Cory Booker.
WBGO News. There when you need us.
Pay freezes for union members, contributions to their health benefits and prescription drug plans, and the elimination of four holidays have all been laid on the table by County Executive Joe DiVincenzo.
WBGO News.
Giving you breaking news from New Jersey and New York.
The problem that we're having now in this little lull is the wind picking up the snow and blowing it.
WBGO News.
Great programs like Newark Today and the WBGO Journal.
Of the 18 nominees I voted for, 11 and a half won awards.
Engaging podcasts like Conversations with Alan Walper.
Abu Ghraib became the symbol, and in my opinion, it was also the excuse.
And Sports Jam with Doug Doyle.
Jazz is exciting. Playing basketball is exciting.
WBGO News, streaming online at WBGO.org.
This is Newark Today. Have a question for the mayor? Call us at 1-800-499-9246.
And welcome back to the program. Joined in the studio tonight, as always, by Mayor Cory Booker. Also with us tonight, Newark School Superintendent Dr. Clifford Janey. And joining us on the phone is Innocent in Newark. Innocent, welcome to the program. You have a question for these gentlemen. Innocent, welcome to the program. What's your question tonight?
My question is, Mr. Janey, do you really think that uniforms are really going to make a difference? Because if the mob remains corrupt, the outer appearance will make a difference.
Dr. Janey, fire.
Thank you, Andrew. And Innocent, I'm not going to say uniforms are going to solve life's problems. It will make a difference for the student who represents himself or herself in a uniform and spends now the time on learning and challenging oneself to be a better student. It isn't an anecdote for all of the things that happen outside of school. It never was intended to be, and it never will be. It is a way for us on common ground to seek common solutions and common effort to be better prepared for success as we leave high school. And it takes place well before high school, and it's not going to be a cure-all for everything that takes place within homes and within communities outside of school.
And let's just be clear, this was not something that we indiscriminately did. I think the data, first of all, everywhere it's been done shows that it has an impact. It's one small tool, it's not a large tool, but it's one small tool in the toolbox. And I remember when a new coach came in when I played college football, and you're in many ways the new coach of the team that's performing in education in Newark, the first thing he did is take these very bad uniforms we had and brought in new uniforms. Now, did it affect my 40 time or my bench press? No. But did it affect the way we felt about ourselves, the way we looked professionally when we went out to play? It actually did make a difference on attitude and the uniformity, in the best sense of the word, of the team that was going out to do something. So it's a small thing, but you know what? Right now, our kids need every small advantage possible, and I'm proud, again, and supportive of our superintendent in doing this.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. I'm Andrew Meyer, joined in the studio by Mayor Cory Booker, as always, and we're very pleased to have the Newark School Superintendent with us, Dr. Clifford Janey. Do you have kids in the school? Do you have grandkids in the school? Are you happy with what you're seeing in this first week back? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-499-9246. Dr. Janey, we kicked off the program talking about public safety in the city itself, and I want to swing it to the schools and the issue of gangs. I want you to find out from you, rather, tell me about what's being done to curtail the influence of gangs inside the schools.
Let me return to the previous conversation we just sort of wrapped up, but mm-hmm. didn't tie a bow on it, and that was about uniforms. I mean, one of the things that uniforms provide for our school leadership and our safety team within schools is the identification of those who belong within the school. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, pretty uncomplicated. If you don't have a uniform on and you are a teenager or you are a youth, it appears as if you're not part of that school family. And we're able then to greet that person and assist that person from the knowledge base that you're not part of the regular registered school population. So that's very clear and straightforward. It assists us in how we do our work. But on a larger issue, we work with the police director, McCarthy. We work with the police captains. Our school principals are in touch with the police captains on a regular basis throughout the weekend. We open up on a Monday morning with intelligence that we wouldn't have normally about what happened or what might happen as a rollover from the weekends into the academic week. And so that kind of collaboration positions us to be much more proactive about things that could have happened, and we can prevent situations that could turn into violence.
There's a common perception that's put out there that gangs are bad, but I want to put it to both of you. Do gangs have anything positive to contribute to our young, to our society? Are all gangs just endemically bad?
I'm sort of almost shocked at your question. I mean, the way we define a gang is it's two or three people who use a common identification, who are organized to do illegal things. And most of the color of gangs in Newark really is around the narcotics trade. I know there are some people that are maybe affiliated with gangs or might not be involved in it, but in terms of the way we approach gangs in the city of Newark is really from the illegal activity of that organization. So my focus right now is taking the narcotics trade, which is really what most of the gangs are doing, and then the violence associated with the narcotics trade, and eliminating those drug markets. So I do not see, frankly, how the gang culture, so to speak, is a positive thing in any way. And I think our young people need to be joining other types of organizations, after school, sports, other kind of service organizations, doing the kind of things that we would all want our young people to do. There was a 14-year-old murdered this year, another one of those murders. And I was very interested in the comments that came from the family and about how they were very concerned that their 14-year-old was being swallowed up by the gangs, had a previous arrest, and eventually was killed. I've had people in my life who have been, unfortunately, gone that way. A young man that I knew who was a Central High School student, lived in the building in which I lived in, a phenomenal spirit, a good kid, was a part of a gang that was involved in some of the things I've just been talking about, and eventually lost his life. So I just believe that is a way down a path that we do not want our children to go to, and we need to start encouraging, supporting, empowering our children to make positive choices that are going to create the kind of results that we all want to celebrate.
This is Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. Got an opinion on what the district or the city should be doing about street gangs? Had your own experiences you want to share? To get in on this conversation, you can call us at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. Ed from Summit is joining us on the phone. Ed, welcome to the program. What's your question for the mayor?
Easy question. I mean, we've got school uniforms for kids. How is this translating, or how is the mayor looking to improve how a city employee presents themselves? You're walking up from the department of whatever it might be into somebody's front door and ringing the doorbell. Do they have a tie on?
Ed, is this a personal experience you're drawing on?
Not really. I grew up in Newark. I live there.
But you just think city employees should have some sort of dress code?
I think city employees should be presentable. I think city employees should, you know, to a great extent, extend the mayor's idea of what a city employee should be.
I absolutely agree.
And are they doing that?
That's a good question, Ed.
Are they doing that? We've worked together.
And if they're not, I'm not saying they should show up in a school uniform, but you know what efforts are being pursued in that area, and it's just a general question, not a criticism.
Okay, let me get the mayor in on this.
No, I appreciate it. And just really quickly, Ed, we went through uniform changes in some of our departments and divisions. I'm not sure. I can't tell you specifically any other initiatives. I'll ask my BA if we have them. But the overall point is, number one, inside City Hall, when we said that we were going to start enforcing a dress code and make sure people are presentable, but especially when people are going out into the community, and this goes to a lot of the safety issue that Dr. Janey was talking about. I want, if a person's knocking on a door for a city, be they inspector or someone else, I want to make sure that they are easily recognizable about a city employee, and again, convey the values and the spirit of the city of Newark that anybody would want to. And Ed, and I'll be frank with you, I'm going to look into this even more now. I am very curious what is the uniform requirements for, say, a city health inspector or a code inspector, and making sure. And I'm curious to make sure that they are in fact doing that. So thank you for your question.
This is Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. Got a question for these guys? We'd love to hear you. We'll work you into the mix at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. Another safety question when it comes to kids. Dr. Janey, there's an effort underway, a local community-based coalition, Safe Streets, Safe Schools. It's not just about making sure kids are safe at school, but that they got nothing to worry about getting to and getting from school. This is a local coalition that's really pushing this, but is there a role for the school in this as well?
Yeah, we've taken a leadership role along with the mayor's office, particularly the police director. We've been identifying schools where there have been hot spots, that is schools that dismiss at a certain time, particularly high school. Science Park has been one of them. We've provided our own yellow bus transportation and picked up our students and dropped them off at a transit stop. And to make sure they were going to be safe at the transit stop, we've collaborated with the transit authorities and our local police authorities so the transition is smooth. We've done it at Science Park. We've done it at Central High School. We did it at Shabazz last year, and we're going to do that this year. As an example of collaboration making a difference for our students and our families.
But it's not just about making sure kids are safe from, shall we say, unsavory elements. It's also making sure that when they get to dangerous intersections that they can get across without fear of being struck by a car, run down. I mean, this coalition held their news conference this week a block away from the King Elementary School, where they did was rated the fourth busiest intersection in the city. There seems to be legitimacy and a role for these groups to help out in making sure that in all forms, kids can safely get to and from school.
Yeah, it goes to crossing guards, but it also goes to providing the kind of instruction and support for families to make sure kids are crossing and adults are crossing. I've seen a lot of, I mean, I drive around the city as we all do, and I've seen people cross in the middle, not of an intersection, but in the middle of the street.
It's called jaywalking, by the way,
and
folks.
Dare me to go forward.
Yep.
Okay? So it's broader than what has been
initial.
And
it is against the law.
That's the rumor, at least. but it, you know, this kind of proposition is life-saving, so it needs to be understood and owned by all of us, and I applaud the leadership of this coalition.
And that's the kind of activism that we really need in our community, is residents that are going to step up and say, this is an issue for our community. We're going to not only ask for the superintendent and the mayor to do what they need to do, but we're also going to do it as well. You know, it's almost hackneyed now, but it is still true that it takes a village to raise a child. Every one of us, when school starts, has a responsibility and a role to play to ensuring the success of our children. We will pay for the failure of our children, and we're seeing that, unfortunately, with some of the incidents we've seen over the last number of years in the city of Newark. So let's all decide that we're going to do whatever we can to empower our kids, whether it's looking out for them on the ways to school, encouraging them, doing even what I do. If I see a parent walking with a child in broad daylight in the middle of the afternoon, I say, hey, how are you doing? why isn't your kid in school? So there are so many things that we can do. And I was benefited, and I'm sure you had this kind of block, where it wasn't just my parents that looked out for me, but you had other people on the block who knew the kids and would say to the kids, hey, I know you. Why aren't you in school today? There's so many things that we can do. But I want to get back to the most important X factor in the success of a child. Cliff Janey is doing a lot of things, which I hope we get to, because he's actually been very innovative in his approaches to education. He's brought us alternative schools for kids that are at risk of dropping out. We've done some great partnerships worthy of celebration. But the real X factor in the success of children, which will always make a difference between great success or mediocrity, or between success and failure at its worst, is the involvement of our parents. And if parents right now are complaining about uniforms or not turning off the TV, or God forbid, if you want your kids to be interested in their homework, then you be interested in their homework. If you want your kids to be interested in school, you show interest in your school. And I know for a fact, and I'll end at this, that I was so afraid of my mom coming to my school, and she did all the time, and she would confront teachers and say what's going on, not in a negative way, but she knew so much about it because she was engaged. And when she wasn't, my father was there as well. We need to create that kind of activism and responsibility amongst our parents as well. That is the difference that between success and failure for our kids.
This is Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. To get in on the conversation, you can give us a call at 1-800-499-9246. Adam is a teacher in Brooklyn, and I believe he has some advice for the two of you. Adam, welcome to the program. What's your two cents here?
Well, thank you so much. I just wanted to say that when you put the children in uniform, they behave better. And it's true. I've also, there was an attack on the street while I was walking with the children in Bed-Stuy the other day, and the police helped us cross the street with no problem. And I think that we need to encourage more parents to call 911 as soon as they see anything. I think that we should realize that it's our responsibility. And my one question is, what keeps people from calling 911, and why do I hear parents cursing at their children and hitting them in the street?
Wow. So first of all, Adam, I want to give you a hug. That was a great, great question. So I hope you feel that energy coming to you from me. Because everything you said there is so true and so right on, and I appreciate you saying succinctly about uniforms. And I just want to jump onto the statement that you made about calling 911. I desperately need more people to call the police and report crimes. It's one of my biggest frustrations that if you have your car broken into, you just say, forget it, and you just go on. I need that information. I know because I can start tracking patterns and tracking what's happening on sort of with crime in certain neighborhoods. It is so powerful even for people to engage the police. If you witness something, to remain silent. I mean, it is silence and apathy that so is encouraging the negative elements in cities across this country. Lift your voice, engage in calling for the police or calling an anonymous line. That makes a transformative difference. And the last thing, and Cliff, I'd love, Dr. Janey, I'd love for you to give some input on this, because that frustrates me. I was shopping at the Pathmark in the South Ward this weekend and just witnessed a parent, what I thought was inappropriately cussing at their child. And it's something that makes, I think, all of us feel uncomfortable. What would you advise, Adam?
Well, do the public schools have a role in outreach to the parents in teaching them as well as teaching the kids?
Yes, we do.
How do you do it?
We have a role and a responsibility and a commitment to help parents understand the best practices in parenting. We do that in teaching, best practices in teaching. We collaborate within the school district. We're going to collaborate this year with charter schools on best practices. But it's really an area that we've marginalized by ignoring the importance of demonstrating how parents can be best at what they do.
But you see the kids in the classroom, you don't really get to see the parents all that often, if at all. How do you reach them?
Oh, we can set up forums within churches and temples, within our communities, within community-based organizations. We can certainly do it at schools. We could do it over the weekends. It's all about will, not whether we have the capacity and the infrastructure within our school communities to do so. It's about our will to make a difference for all of our children, and it's now the time for us to do that. The president gave a message this week about responsibility. And whose is it? It's not just ours. Certainly it's ours as the mayor and the superintendent, but it's about all of ours in our communities. We can do this work, but we have to do it together, and we have to step up and not be ashamed to say, I don't know.
I need help.
I need some help. We're there to provide that assistance.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. When we come back after the break, more with Newark School Superintendent Dr. Cliff Janey, the mayor, and some of the rest of the news.
Hi, this is WBGO News Director Doug Doyle. Coming up tomorrow night on the WBGO Journal, we'll hear a report on the development of a new lesson plan geared towards educating students about the events of 9/11.
What we're trying to do is to use the human drama, which we think is terrifically powerful, of what happened on September 11th, 2001.
We'll hear an excerpt from tonight's Newark Today program featuring Superintendent of Schools Dr. Clifford Janey. I'll be talking with Peter Runfalo, the retired founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation of New Jersey, who's trying to start a retirement club for seniors in Union County.
Boredom for seniors is not good, is not healthy.
And Michael Bourne chats with Tony-winning actress Beth Lovell about this Sunday's Broadway on Broadway.
2 years ago, I did Drowsy Chaperone, and there was a whole slew of people on the front row singing with me.
All this coming up tomorrow night at 7:30 on the WBGO Journal at 88.3 FM and WBGO.org.
You're listening to Newark Today. Call us with your questions at 1-800-499-9246.
And welcome back to the program. I'm Andrew Meyer, your host tonight, and with us as always, Mayor Cory Booker. Also in the studio with us, Newark School Superintendent Dr. Clifford Janey. Joining us on the line is Jill in South Orange. Jill, welcome to the program. What's your question for these guys?
Hi, yes. I do a lot of work with small businesses with an organization that I run, the Institute for Entrepreneurial Leadership. And one of the
stop for a second. Jill, stop. This is one of my heroes in Newark, New Jersey. She may be a South Orange resident, but she runs an organization called the Institute for Entrepreneurial Leadership, EIFL. She partners with so many young entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs of all ages, in the city of Newark, minority-run businesses, women-run businesses, and has helped us launch a tremendous amount of businesses. She's truly a superwoman. I think that that song was written by Alicia Keys for her.
Jill?
Mayor, thank you so much.
Jill, let me get you to your question, because the mayor will keep singing your praises for 5 minutes.
And she's a mom of a whole bunch of kids. She has a basketball team.
A lot of them,
yes.
So what I want to ask, in working with small businesses, one of the things that I hear oftentimes is that they have such difficulty in finding good quality employees. And not employees that are so highly skilled, but employees who can show up to work on time and who are diligent and who want to work hard. I would like to hear your thoughts, both Mayor and Superintendent, on how you're looking to use the education system to prepare more young people to work right out of school, and even during the time that they're in school, to participate in the not the underground economy, but to participate in the legitimate economy.
Jill, is it?
Yes, Jill Johnson.
Jill, thanks for your question and your observations. One of the things that we need to do a better job on, and for which we are making a very good preparation, is the link between getting our students to be knowledge-focused and be sure that they have the skill sets as they enter internships. But as important as knowledge is in the acquisition of particular skills in the transportation industry, in the health and hospital industry, we want to make sure our students have some prerequisite and pre-existing knowledge about what it takes to be a good worker who adds value to the organization. And that goes beyond just having some knowledge and having some skills. It's about the disposition and the viewpoint you may have about relating to your coworkers. So the mayor and I are trying to make sure Newark is a place of choice for those who want to see how community service learning works within our schools, within our school communities. And I know personally, and I know programmatically, and I know professionally, when our students are placed in a position of responsibility, for example, in a hospital as a paid intern, and they are delivering the medicine on rounds to patient areas, that responsibility is not perhaps as equal to those who are medically qualified to actually conduct operations. But if the patients don't have their meds and someone has missed a round by virtue of not being on time, the student learns how that particular role fits among a team of practitioners where that student's role has an important life-saving or life-altering kind of circumstance if he or she isn't there on time and isn't participating as a team. So community service learning and our internships and getting our kids positioned to understand not only they need to acquire knowledge and the appropriate skill sets to prepare them for these technical green jobs and all of the hundreds plus types of jobs that are in hospitals, not just doctors and nurses. We need to make sure they have these community service learning experiences that couple their capabilities as they get ready for the workforce.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. Want to get in on this conversation? We'd love to hear what is on your mind. You can give us a call at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. It's time for those dreaded two words. We talked about it a year ago, the last time you were on here, Dr. Janey. It's time to bring it up again. Local control. Where do we stand on it?
Well, I did want to just say one thing about what Dr. Janey's answer. So we're doing a lot to get our kids, and I'm not avoiding this question, I'll get to it in a minute.
You are going to get to it.
Yes. we're doing a lot in partnership with Dr. Janey to get our kids in those work opportunities. We are partnering with Continental for a summer program that's been phenomenally successful. We employed more people in summer jobs this year for our kids to get real work experience, and a number of other programs going on, especially the Yes Center, which is for kids that are at risk of dropping out. We have a youth education and employment success center. A lot of good things going on, but this is the biggest thing. You know, Einstein said that I never confuse my education with my schooling, and the reality is that education, one of the best things we can do is prepare our kids to compete, and this is where we have to get serious. We have a very difficult economy now. If we do not teach our kids those values of getting up in the morning, of going to work, of working hard, of bringing the right attitude, so many employers in the city of Newark and other places I've talked to complain bitterly about how many people you have to interview before you can find somebody that can do the kind of basic things to make a living and to raise a family and to be a good employee. And that's what we've got to prepare our young people to do.
All right. So it's teaching them the right thing, but who should be in charge of running the schools that teach them the right thing?
The state has put a clear pathway back to local control. It is going to happen. It's probably going to happen within the next year. The control will go back to the elected advisory board. And then that advisory board, everybody needs to know how this is going to roll out, will have a year within to set an election. And the question on the election will be very simple. Will it go back to kind of governance we had under Ken Gibson, which is a mayor-appointed school board, or will it continue to be a locally elected school board as we have right now in place as an advisory board? But please, let us not let that distract us from what is happening right now. Cliff Janey and I are in a strong partnership to create not incremental change, but neither he nor I have a lifetime at this job. Mm-hmm. We have a matter of years left to do the work we want to do. And we want to see the Newark school system hit that tipping point where the overwhelming majority of kids mm-hmm. have options of excellence. And the thing that makes me happy is that I've got a partner right now that even if I was controlling the schools, which is something I've talked openly about, he is stepping up and saying, well, first of all, Mayor, I agree with you 100%. Every child in this city is my child. I take responsibility. It's not two different systems or three different systems, private, charter, public. We're going to all work together to find as many models of excellence. He's embraced charter schools and said, let's find out what their best practices are. His team has gone with me to look at other school models in other states that can come to the city of Newark. He has an innovation guy, I'm so impressed with him, that he's brought in that is working on some tremendous things. So my immediate concern, there's a pathway that's going to be over a year. My immediate concern is right here.
The here and now.
Right now, I've got a strong leader in Cliff Janey, and I am not going to settle for excuses. We've got to push our kids towards high levels of excellence, what they each and every one of them, which each and every one of them is capable of.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO and WBGO.org. Eddie from Newark is joining us on the phone. Eddie, welcome to the program. What's your question for the mayor?
My question is, the mayor and the superintendent, what are they going to do about the kids when they come out of school hanging on Broad and Market?
I God bless you for asking that question. I know we had a sensational murder, but it's just a problem. Coming out of school, right. Kids just hanging out. And that's not what I want. I want our kids engaged in meaningful activities because idle minds are the devil's workshop. Mm-hmm. And so what Dr. Janey and the governor, let's give the governor some credit with programs like NJ After 3, which have expanded in the city of Newark. Let's give the city council credit. We've expanded parks and recreational programs, created new athletic facilities for our schools because we want more kids to get back into sports activities. The after-school enrichment programs that the superintendent has right now to expand the school day. We've got to get all of our kids engaged in productive activities. And you can go to the city website if you're a parent and don't know what to do with your kid after school. There's so many things for them to engage in. But I know Dr. Janey has some.
Well, I want to ask Dr. Janey this. Do you have enough resources to be able to offer programs to every single student in the district, after school programs?
Yes.
You have the resources.
We have the resources. That's not the question. The question is, how do we make sure everyone is taking advantage of the resources?
Yes.
So that becomes a challenge for us, as the mayor pointed out so well early on in the conversation, that there are still adults accompanying their children when school is in session, whether it's the first day of school, whether it's today, whether it's yesterday. That's unacceptable, and that has to change, and that responsibility the president talked about and will continue to talk about and hear our voices lifted to his level in his direction as we look at Newark as the example. There can't be any excuses now. We have lots of opportunities after school. We have lots of opportunities over the weekend. We are changing what it means to earn a high school diploma in Newark. It's not going to be a way by which you're certified because you were in the seat for so many years. It's not going to be a certification of participation of presence. It's going to be a diploma of achievement, and it's going to move you towards a way and a pathway in college. So you're not going to need to take remediation. You're not going to need to have extra support. But that change can't come about by being on the block. I mean, I grew up in Orchard Park housing projects. I grew up in a gang culture that you talked about earlier. I know very well if you earn D's and F's, you're 14 to 15 times more likely to have a seat in a state penal institution than it is to have
a
seat.
But Dr. Janey, even worse than that, if you don't graduate from high school,
you're out there.
You're going to not make as much money. But the last thing I want to say is, not just hanging out at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. I'm astonished this last week driving around at 11 o'clock and midnight and seeing kids out. And we are having a big push right now to get those kids off the streets. And I've actually talked to kids. These aren't kids that have no parent or no home to go to. These are kids whose parents just are letting them hang out till 11 o'clock on a school night. That's crazy. There's no way you can be productive at 8 o'clock in the morning if you're out till 11 or midnight at night. You're killing your child's chances at success in life if you're allowing that kind of behavior.
You're listening to Newark Today on WBGO. Vic from Maplewood is joining us on the phone. Vic, welcome to the program.
How are you, Mayor Booker? This is Vic DeLuca, the mayor of Maplewood.
Hey, mayor to mayor. How are you doing, sir?
All right. I'm listening to you guys. And,
Vic, you may be a Maplewood man, but you spent more years of your life in Newark.
I did.
You were a Newarker, man.
I spent 20 years there in Newark. You're right. And that's what I wanted to talk about. I think you guys are doing a great job and really like what you're saying. What strikes me is, having been out of Newark for 15 years now, how the external message. We're not getting a clear message that there's a lot of positive things coming out of Newark. And people in my community, a lot of them who have come directly here from New York, their frame of reference of Newark is not all that attractive. How are you? What are you doing to try to change that? At the same time, you're talking internally. How are you trying to externally send that message?
Thanks, Vic. So first of all, the message, the evidence of the message changing is working because our population is booming in the city of Newark. There's only one other big city on the East Coast, Northeast, that's growing faster than we are, and that's Boston. Businesses are choosing to come back to the city of Newark. We're now opening up new restaurants, new art galleries. So you're seeing some very positive signs, but I agree with you 100%. The perception of Newark, if you watch the TV show and the helicopters that I saw up in the air after a stabbing or a shooting, is that, God, it's getting out of control. Murders are going out of control. And that's just not the facts. So what I'm trying to do, everything I can, is to make the reality here stronger. But my also job is to let the world know what's going on, so we attract investment, so we attract business, so we attract jobs. So I've made it, I guess it was around January of 2008, my staff made a bigger decision that we were going to get out there and do more of the national TV shows like Meet the Press or the Colbert Report, which I'm going on, that we'd cooperate with this documentary that's coming up on the city of Newark to try to get the positive message and the reality out there that violent crime is going down in our city. We're making strides, that the business opportunities, the residential opportunities are here. I want America to rediscover Newark and to invest in it so my residents have more opportunity every day.
We got a couple more calls that I do want to try and get in here before the end of the show. Janet from Newark is joining us on the line. Janet, welcome to Newark Today. What's your question for these guys?
Good evening, Mayor, and good evening, Dr. Janie. I actually don't have a question. What I was calling about is the call that came in earlier about children hanging out downtown Newark. I happen to be a parent of a Newark child. She's not with Newark Public Schools, but I work closely with Newark Public Schools. I know there's a lot of programs, probably more than anywhere in a 10-mile radius for children after school in Newark Public Schools. But also, when my child gets on a public bus, I know what time she gets on, what time she gets off, and what time she shows up at home. Then she has at least 2 to 3 hours of homework to do at night. So, again, parents have to be responsible about what your children are doing. If they're under 18, they should be still accountable by the parents.
Right.
Janet, let me get Dr. Janie on here. He's chomping at the bit.
Yeah, Janet, thank you for your commentary and your footprint in terms of how we should try to fill it and model what you've been doing. I'm on a local tour now within the school district to visit every school where there is a student who has had a perfect score on the NJASC, on the assessment for knowledge given by the New Jersey Department of Education. I met a young fourth grader, a young African-American student at Cleveland School in the Central Ward just this week. And the first thing she said, as you did, as a mother and as I did as a father enabling my children to know what it takes to be successful, she hit the books for 3 hours every day. So when I met this young lady, I said, is it all right to call your mother, call your home? And I called the home while in the principal's office and immediately said, this is not a bad news call, it's a good news call, and let me just compliment you. What is it that she does as a matter of routine and ritual every day after school? And it was about the books. It was about the challenge. It was about responsibility.
Want to get one last call in here. Rob, you're joining us on Newark Today. I got to get you to your point quickly. You have a question for the mayor.
Sure. Yeah, Mayor Booker, I wanted to know how you managed to be so accessible on sites like Twitter and still be one of the most, the mayor of a city that's really in the spotlight in the country right now. You've been so successful. My wife and I just bought a place in University Heights, and you were gracious enough to say you might be able to stop by to help us move in. So I just want to thank you for being so accessible and ask you how you balance that out.
30 seconds, Mayor.
Yeah, they're not at odds. They're in accordance. I do constituent calls both in the city hall, the traditional means like telephones, and I do constituent calls on Twitter. We're trying to make the office more transparent and more accessible. At the end of the night tonight, I'll go home, and I know there's a few people who've direct messaged me over Twitter, Newark residents who are waiting for a phone call or a message. The last thing I want to say about Dr. Janie, when I was going to school, both my parents worked. They had a lot of challenges. My mom, before the technology was there, had slapped a low jack on the back of my head. She always knew where I was. I had to call when I got home. She was checking the homework at night. That's the thing we need, the activism we need from parents and from other caring adults. We have our destiny in hands. I've never been more encouraged about the city of Newark and what's possible here. This school year can go down as one of the greatest ever in the city of Newark, only if we all work together in doing it.
And that's all the time we have tonight. I want to thank Mayor Cory Booker for being here with us to take your calls. Thank you, Mayor. And also thanks again to Newark School Superintendent Dr. Clifford Janey. Our crew tonight on the show, on the phones, Jim Cromaldi, on the board, Josh Webb, and running everything ever so smoothly, WBGO News Director Doug Doyle. Newark Today is a production of WBGO News. Thurston Briscoe, our executive producer. You can find a podcast on our website at wbgo.org/Newark Today. You can watch us on TV on Newark TV Channel 78. I'm Andrew Meyer. Join us on October 15th for the next Newark Today. This is WBGO Newark.